What is in the neck that is causing the migraine?
So you have these small muscles right beneath the skull here. They're called the occipital muscles, and there's nerves that run through there, the suboccipital nerve and the greater occipital nerve. And when there's chronic tension on them, which is just what I was talking about before, like the modern posture produces that pretty readily just by the restrictions and everything it creates. When there's constant tension on those muscles, the nerves that pierce through those muscles become irritated chronically. So they get set off very easily and they lead to these headaches.
It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost done. And I told y'all so. When I throw these flows, like a stroke shimbo. And I ain't too close, it's Joe Smo goes. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. A little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is out that bag. But I still ask, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him, I don't need help with me. I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps, and I can do both. Even do this, word.
Support for the On the Stacks podcast comes from Montage Planning Partners. Partnerships like this make our community a better place to live and work. That's why Montage Planning Partners is proud to support the important work of On the Stacks. When it comes to financial planning, most financial companies ask, "What's your salary?" At Montage Planning Partners, we ask, "What's your story?" We know building the right financial plan means looking at more than just money. That's why we start by asking the right questions, listening to what matters most to you, then guiding you every step of the way to help you live the life you want. Now and years from now. Plan your financial story with Montage Planning Partners with Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Contact Montage Planning Partners today. Visit montageplanningpartners.com for further information and disclosures. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On the Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by Wilks Consulting, a Ramsey-preferred coaching firm. Are you drowning in debt? Is the weight of financial stress holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? Then it's time to break free and regain control of your financial future. Wilks Consulting specializes in financial and debt consulting. Their team of 4 highly trained Ramsey Solutions advisors are ready to help you take charge of your money. Whether you're looking to get out of debt, pay off student loans, or simply need assistance on how to prepare to buy a home, Wilks Consulting can help you fine-tune your budget and provide the resources and guidance you need to meet your goals. Don't let debt or the fear of finances control your life any longer. Head over to WilcoPA.com and book a hassle-free, no-obligation call. Your first step towards financial freedom. Again, that's WilcoPA.com. WILCOPA.com. Wilks Consulting, making financial independence a reality. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On the Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at FitAFNutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at FitAFNutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game. What's up, podcast? I'm your host, Bill Corcoran Jr. here in the MPP studio. Dr. Dave Fultz, welcome to the On the Stacks podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is good timing. I told you I got some back pain going on, so You know, you're well adjusted.
Yeah.
Appreciate the shirt.
Yeah, we could help you with that for sure.
And you brought me a Rubik's Cube, and
Thank you for this, by the way.
Yeah, no.
I feel like I'm going to try to solve this during the show. Maybe I can get it by the end, but I'm not sure how it's going to work out.
Yeah, probably not by the end. But yeah, we'll get you there.
Yeah, you'll have to teach me. What's the fastest you could solve this thing?
About a minute. About the fastest. Yeah,
it's pretty impressive. I never know where to start with these.
You got to make a white tea at the bottom. That's where you start.
You have to start with the white. Is that the trick?
Yeah, you got to make the tea at the bottom of the cube. That's where you want it.
I'll try.
And then we build from there.
I'll try this later.
Yeah.
I can't do two things at once. But this will go in my collection of fidget toys.
Yeah.
I see. I have a little collection of things over here. So this will be one of them. I'll be solving these on every show.
Yeah. Well, one day. It'll happen.
Yeah, we'll do some training afterwards.
Yeah,
yeah. No, this is great, man. I'm glad we connected, and you're fellow podcaster yourself, dabbling in the space.
Yeah, just started up. We got a few episodes under the belt, but
yeah,
we're just starting.
Yeah, we were just sharing war stories about forgetting to hit record before we started, and it makes me always like panic. Like, wait, are we recording?
Yeah,
you know, it's like the biggest fear. I think everyone's biggest fear. Not just podcaster, but just any type of content creation. It's like, oh my God, did we get that?
Yeah,
like,
for sure. It's always the good stuff you lose too.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk a lot about chiropractic and all that too. But what for podcasting? Like what made you interested in starting to create some content around the space?
I had thought about it before because one of the things is like I get to see my patients, but I don't get to address, like, I might be able to address their pain that they come in with or the certain particular problem that they come in with, but I don't necessarily get to talk to them about all the other stuff that they can do to improve their health because they're there for one specific thing from me. But there's a lot of other stuff they can be doing besides what we go over in the office. So I wanted to cover some of that stuff. So that's where I got the idea for a podcast. And, actually, your podcast is one of the things that got me to do it because I was always afraid that nobody would listen or nobody would care or whatever. And I looked at some of your old podcasts and I'm like, there's no views on this one. And this is a podcast that worked out. So, you know, if there's one that worked out and nobody was listening in the beginning, then that's just the way it is. So it just kind of got me comfortable with the fact that I'm going to get better at speaking. I'm going to get better at doing that. And even if at the end nobody really did listen or nobody cared what I was saying, it's at least going to make me a better communicator, a better talker, able to help my patients in that way. So
yeah, it's a real good way to look at it, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because not a lot of people do, you know. And you know, I think one of the biggest things is I think a lot of people are afraid to put themselves out there, like in a vulnerable position, yeah. Right? Like, you know, you're brand new to it, right? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, you got all these eyeballs on you now. And it's like, oh, no.
Well, that also helped, too, thinking, like, I don't have all those eyeballs.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
nobody's going to see this when I'm bad.
Yeah.
Even if it works out at the end, these first one, nobody's watching anyway. Yeah. So, one, if it's bad, doesn't matter. Two, if nobody's watching, that's kind of almost a good thing till I figure it out. So
yeah, yeah. I always tell everybody, I'm like, yeah, like, just don't go back and listen to the beginning of them, you know, like...
Yeah. I avoid doing that already, and it's still still early.
No, but like it's cool. Like it shows that you've already made progress, though.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool. It's cool to see that, and it's nice to hear that like you were inspired I think you've been following along for some time now.
Yeah.
You know, with the show. So I mean, like, what was it? I'm always curious. Like, what made you find my show, and then like what was your interest?
I think somehow we were friends on Facebook already, and then I saw you doing like early when you were doing the post with the pictures.
You've been following for a while,
and I was like, oh, I think I've seen that guy around. And then we lived in literally the same townhouse complex, so I was like, oh, like this is interesting. He's doing something a little bit different. We live in the same spot, so that's kind of how I followed along with what you were doing. So that's how I got started with it.
Yeah, man, I'm always like curious to learn, like, you know, because again, like, you know, I've been doing this now for so long, and it's like sometimes I forget, you know, people I've talked to or come into contact with. Yeah. And there's so many moving parts now. And now that, like, I'm, you know, as we were talking before we came on, like, I'm doing this full time now, and But no, it's cool, man. Like I said, like it's cool to see other people doing it. I love, you know, especially somebody like you, because obviously what you do is so niche.
Yeah.
Right. So like for you to be able to put out the knowledge and be able to speak to not just, you know, your patients, right, who obviously can learn from whatever you're speaking about, you know, that might be related or even not, right, to what they might be going through. But if, just for people just to be able to learn the knowledge that you have to share, because I think, you know, there's a lot of industry professionals that I feel like should have podcasts.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's such a great tool, and you put it perfectly. Like you're able to, you know, you only have a limited time with your patients. And like you said, you're only able to address like their immediate need, whatever it is that they're there for.
Yeah.
And then it's like, then after that, then you don't see them again until they come back in, and you know, might be working on the same thing, or maybe they have some other issue that they come in with. But that's cool. Have you had any patients that were like, hey, like I see your thing, like it's cool, I'm learning from that. Do you get any?
Yeah, I've heard some. I'm like, oh my God, somebody actually listened to it. Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, so people are paying attention.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like I've also found that I think there's actually more people watching and listening than you realize. Like, cause a lot of people don't speak up.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people just may not tell you, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's people that are just probably watching you just even before the podcast. I mean, like just in general. And I think it just, it's important to always remember and know that I think people are always watching for like, you know, to be inspired. Like somebody might be inspired by you and you don't even realize it. It's just by you being you and doing the thing that you do every day is actually more interesting to other people than you even realize.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have seen that before, because I saw like my first person that listened from a different country, and I'm like, how the hell did they?
How did you even find this? Yeah, like why is there somebody from India listening to me? Right? Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm sure you have them all over the place.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and same thing. Like I remember going back like 4 or 5 years ago, like when that first happened, and I'm like, you know, I'm looking at the map like on Spotify, and it's like over 35 countries now.
Yeah.
And it's like, how the hell do these people? I mean, I kind of know some of the reasons why, how and why some of them found me. Cause like I can attribute some to like certain guests that I know that had, cause like they told me like, oh yeah, like I have this friend in this country and that friend or whatever. Okay, I'll send it to them and they're probably gonna listen, blah, blah, blah. So like I can attribute some of it to some of that, but then there's also a lot that I just like, I may never know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, wait, who in Canada? I mean, I know a couple people. I actually do know a couple people in Canada, but like, who the hell else in Canada besides those couple people that I know that are now listening?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's wild to see. And, you know, like, I know podcasting is not anything new, but it's grown significantly, you know, just over the last like couple of years, like the industry in general, and the projection of it over the next, you know, 5 to 8 years is even bigger, is even greater. So
yeah,
I think it's more important now than ever. But even if it's not podcast, just content, like content creation, I think is so important for a business.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I mostly listen to podcasts, and then whenever, like every once in a while, I'll go on a ride or a run or something like that, and I start listening to music, I'm like, oh man, music, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff's good.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you're into like some like really like crazy fitness stuff, like ultra marathon, right?
Yeah. I started doing those in, like 2017.
What got you into that?
Well, I have just, I had a bucket list of things I wanted to do. And the honest story is run a marathon is just on the list, just because I thought it was something that I should do at some point. And then when I was in college, I had a couple of friends and I saw somebody, one of them popped up on my feed and they had just run a marathon. And I really didn't think they were that athletic, and I didn't really think...
You're like, oh, if they could do it.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't like running, and I'm going to kill myself and train this hard to do something that this guy did. Like, you know, it seems like an asshole thing, but it's...
Yeah.
But I was like, no, maybe I could do a little bit more than that. And then I heard... I'm sometimes like a little delusional with this type of stuff, where... I heard somebody talking about running a 200-mile race on one of these podcasts. And then I calculated how long it took them to do it, like what their pace must have been. And it turns out they were running like 14, 15-minute miles. It's like, I could run that fast.
Yeah, I could do that all day.
I could run that fast for a long time. So literally the first race I ever signed up for was a 50-mile race in down by Penn State in Tussie Mountain. You went to Penn State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, did you Like, were you a runner before this or no?
No.
Not at all.
I would run, like, I played sports and everything, so yeah, running is always a punishment. Like,
you took the words out. I was just going
to
say
Yeah, so like, you never wanted to do it. I would do it just kind of like at the end of workouts, just because you're supposed to be able to run.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd run a mile at the end or something. Mm-hmm. But I think the furthest I had literally ever run in my life at that point was maybe 4 or 5 miles. And that was it. And then I signed up. I was like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah. How to do it. Yeah. So like I used to be a runner. So I ran track and cross country in high school. And that was always the biggest joke. Like our joke was, hey, our sport is your sport's punishment. That was like, that was the joke, right? Because like every other sport, like you said, like most of us, you know, they really don't train that. Like, it's like a punishment. Like, oh, go run. You did this wrong. Go run a couple laps, right?
Well, it's interesting how it changes, though, because like when you're doing it, like if you're playing football and you're running laps, like you don't care about the laps because it's not what you're there to do, or basketball or something like that. But when you're running and the intent is to get better at running, then it actually becomes interesting a bit and you get locked into it. And that's kind of how I got going with it, where I thought it was going to be miserable and I actually liked doing it because I was trying to get better at it. Versus all the other times I was doing it was just because I had to do it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it takes a lot of discipline.
Well, it does, but it's not, I mean, that's another thing too. Like when you're from other sports, like when you're running, you're supposed to be running hard the whole time. And I just kind of eased into this. I was just like, I literally just have to do it a lot. And you can't go hard all the time like that.
Right.
Like you just
You can't go 0 to 100.
No. So the first time, first workout I did for it, I remember it was like I went and I wanted to run for an hour, but I just set it for a pace I thought I could just run slow for an hour on the treadmill. And that was the first thing I did. So it wasn't really even that hard. It was a little bit boring maybe to start with, but you know, it wasn't, I guess it is, it takes discipline to like just do the workouts, but it's not like you are, it's not like you're killing yourself every workout either.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's also a lot of it's like a mind game.
Yeah.
Like you really have to, you know what I mean? Because like, again, like you, I think because probably almost everyone, like unless you were like a runner growing up, a lot of people look at it just like you said, as like a punishment. So like to have to like sort of like reverse your mindset to thinking like, oh, I'm not doing this because I'm being punished. Like I'm doing this because I want to do it and I want to get better and I want to, you know, improve my, you know, whatever.
I don't think I shifted like that though. I think it was more like, for some reason I had in my head that I had to do this bucket list thing. Like it was just like, you have to do it. Mm. Like you should have done that once in your life. And then I shifted it to the 50 just like, cause pure ego reasons. And then, but then I was still going into it, like just get this done, you do it once and then never do it again. But it was just like the process of, I saw the improvement just because it had to happen. Like if I just was running all the time, the improvement was gonna happen. Then when I saw the improvement, I was like, oh, that's interesting.
So and you see the results.
Yeah, so you start seeing the forward progress and then you get it. It's not like I just shifted my mind immediately and was loving it right from the beginning. But once you start seeing the progress, then that's how, you know, you see a lot of people get hooked on running like that, where they started just trying to get in shape and then
all of a sudden they're running 200 miles, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that happens.
Yeah.
You know, like I see that a lot too. Like again, like even like just myself, like just seeing, it's just like you said, like you saw somebody on Facebook doing it and you're like, I think I could do that. Right. Like I see that a lot, you know, nowadays, and I'm like, I'm always surprised when it's always like the most unlikely person that I'm like, oh, I can't believe that guy or that girl is doing that now. Like, man, I never would have expected them to do it. And like all of a sudden they're like this killer runner. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And I think sometimes some of those things seem super hard and they're not quite as hard as it seems like. Like when you're far away from it, like when I started, I was very far away from being able to run that far. So to see people who are doing it right now, it's like they've already done all the work to do it. And that just seems so far off. But I think you're always just like a little bit closer than you think too.
I agree.
Because I remember when I did, like I said, it was 6 miles was the furthest I ever ran, like when I was building up my training. Like I had worked up to 6 miles and I was like, let me see what happens if I just run 6 miles away from the house. And then, you know, I doubled the amount.
I doubled the furthest I had ever ran, right?
Yeah. Because I had to. I was just like, I'm going to run 6 out. I know I could run 6 out and I got to come back. So I have to run 12.
Yeah. And it, you had no choice, right?
Yeah. It was miserable, but I did it and I was like, oh, I guess I could run 12. Yeah. I thought I could only run 6 at that point.
And it's such a good point that you brought up about always, I think everybody, and not just running, it could be with anything. It could be in business. It could be in just in life. Anything that you're trying to do or achieve or start something new or learn, I think everybody's a lot closer than what they think. And it's like you could just be one phone call away, one email away, one run away, yeah, one workout away, whatever it is. It's just like that one away theory. And I think, I don't know if it's Ed Milet that may have said that. I don't know if you follow him at all, but I think it was him. But like, I'm a big subscriber to that because, and it reminds me also too, like of the podcast journey. So it's like, you know, somebody like you who may have just started a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast or just thinking about getting into some type of content creation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I think people like look at, you know, me and what we're doing here and they're like, oh man, like, holy shit. Like that just seems so far fetched, like unattainable, but it's like, it's really not. And to think about like, just like a few years ago, I was in the same place where, you know, anyone that's looking to start it was there. Like, and I was there too. And it's like, you know, you're not that far off. Like you're really not. Like it's just, I think the biggest hurdle is just getting started. And that's like with anything.
Yeah. Well, I also think too, it's like my struggle is, so I'm dealing with, when I deal with patients, I'm not necessarily dealing with people that have the same, think the exact same way that I do. And for me, like if I think about doing some kind of fitness challenge or something, that's something I like to do. And it's very logical to me. Like I can see the steps. Like if I do this and that and the other thing, I'll be able to do it. And I can look and see like, oh, look at that person. They can do it. I can do it. It's not like they're regular people and mm-hmm. they just did the things and they can do
it. Yeah. They just did the steps to get there.
Yeah. But I don't necessarily have that as much with like the podcast vision or like with the business or anything like that, because it's not as natural. I haven't been doing it for so long. I've mm-hmm. been playing sports for forever, whereas I haven't been in business forever. So like that stuff's a little bit muddier. So when I'm making a decision or like trying something new or trying to reach something, you know, that I haven't reached yet, the steps to get there seem muddier to me. Whereas somebody who's further ahead of me would just be like, you have to do this, that, and the other thing, and it'll just happen. Just the same way I'm telling somebody in my office that might not necessarily believe what I'm telling them, right? So it's like, I'm very matter of fact about it, where I'm like, all you have to do is this, and the problem's solved. And you think it's just going to click with people because you think that way already, and it doesn't, because what's clear for me is not necessarily clear in their mind.
Mm, how do you get somebody to see that? Like how do you walk somebody through that process? Because I understand what you mean. It's like, you know, we think differently, and it's right. It's like you have all the knowledge and experience that you have, and to you it's like it's like second nature, right? And and to somebody coming in, they're like, they might be completely clueless.
Yeah. So like if you were trying to tell somebody how to start a podcast and like grow it to this point, you can kind of give them the basics and like, look, it will grow if you just post consistently, if you just put out good content, like if you just do these things consistently, it'll grow. And that's true, but they don't really, they're like, who's going to listen to me?
Right.
You know, what do I have to say? Like, why would anybody listen? Like, there's all the reasons why it won't work before you even try and make it work. So, I mean, some of the ways, like everybody's different. So I try and some of the ways we'll try and do it is if somebody is like giving me all the excuses of why they won't even start, I'll give them just something super simple just to start. And then I'll check on it the next time. Like I won't overload them with, you have to do all these things or give them the whole roadmap or the steps or whatever. I'll just be like,
just try this one little
thing. Just do this one thing and come back and tell me you did it. And then when they can get used to doing that, then we can make some progress. But other people is like, it's tough because other people, if it's not enough of a change, it doesn't seem like it's doing anything, so they just don't do it. Like, everything in their life is so much the same, and then they change this one little thing. It's like, what's that going to do? Right? So they don't do that. So some of those people need drastic things. So you kind of have to get a read for people. It's like, some people you have to say, change your whole life, yeah. and then they'll do it. And other people need to be like handheld through yeah. it to make the change. And it's just, it's learning how to communicate with people who don't necessarily think the same way as you is probably the hardest thing.
Yeah, I think that, and that could apply with a lot. I mean, just anything in business and life in general, like getting somebody to think the same way you do, and or like even in sales, like in a sales transaction, like you're getting the other person to understand why you think, or you know, why I think you should buy my product. It's kind of like the same thing. It's like
yeah.
just getting them to understand is a lot of times the biggest hurdle.
Yeah, and then I mean, I know coming right out of school, you think like, I'm going to tell this, the first person comes in and they're confused about why they're in pain or why they have this issue. And you're like, I'm just going to tell them why they have it. They're going to be so happy we solved it. They're going to make these changes because they know that if they make the changes, they'll be better. It just doesn't happen that way. It's like, you're like, I don't understand. Like, I told them why they have the pain. Why wouldn't they change it? But, you know, you think about like doctors who still smoke cigarettes. It's like,
yeah,
they know it's bad. They're not. Like literally everybody who smokes cigarettes knows it's bad. They have the knowledge that if they stop, they'd be better off, but they do it. So yeah, it's not.
Why is that? Like, this is we're now going down like this, like psychology, yeah. like, yeah, rabbit hole here, but I like it.
I don't know. I mean, I do stuff I know is bad for me too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's confusing to me, you know, yeah. but it's like, it kind of helps you understand, like, it helps me be less judgmental with people, though. And that's kind of what you have to be, especially when you're dealing with a lot of different patients. It's like, okay, I work out. I've been working out consistently for forever. So that's not hard for me to do. So when I tell somebody to work out and they don't do it, I can't be like, oh my God, like, get it together.
Yeah, like what's your problem? Just yeah. do it.
Yeah, exactly. But there's other things that maybe they do consistently that I don't, and I know I should be doing.
Mm.
And it's not hard for them. So it's like, not everybody is kind of built the same. But, you know, I know that what I'm telling them to do will help them. So it's just about trying to figure out, like, what will make it worth it for them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think, like, whatever people who smoke, whatever they're getting out of smoking, like whatever like outlet it is for them, is worth more than what they're getting out of quitting. It's got to be it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's hard.
It's a weird phenomenon, isn't it?
It is. It's very strange. People are very strange.
Yeah. We're all strange.
Yeah, exactly.
We are strange creatures.
Yeah, for sure.
We are. What made you want to get into and be a chiropractor? Like, what was it for you?
Well, first I went to Penn State. I went for architectural engineering first, and I wanted to design buildings. And halfway through, I realized there was a lot less designing and a lot more figuring out, like, where's the light socket go, and what this 2x4 has to be this far from that 2x4. So like, not creative at all.
So it really wasn't what you thought?
Yeah, it was just the expectations weren't. It was just very tedious. And not that tedious is bad, but I went into it because I wanted it to be like a creative thing.
Mm.
And it was much less creative and much more like nuts and bolts than I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I was always like in the health and fitness, working out, all that stuff. So I wanted to help people. I didn't want to prescribe medicine because I never was into that side of it before. And somebody suggested chiropractic. I had never even been to a chiropractor before. But I liked the idea that, you know, you could walk into a room with somebody who has a problem. Nothing, like just the two of you, and one of them walks out better than they were before. You know, that was a very intriguing idea to me. So that's kind of, I just went with it.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you can have like a immediate impact on someone's life, mm-hmm. like within that first visit.
And the thing is, if you walk out and you're feeling better, then you're actually doing better because there's no medicine masking anything. You didn't change anything in their body. Like you didn't do anything to alter anything other than just help their body just function a little bit better. Yeah,
just the normal movements, right?
Yeah. So if you know that when you walk out, you're actually really doing better. It's not just like something being masked.
Yeah.
And that's what was really interesting to me. And that's how I kind of decided to go for it, just without ever knowing very much about it, mm-hmm. actually.
So who's your chiropractor?
Oh, I mix and match. You know,
it's one of those things. It's like, who's the barber's barber? Who's the doctor's doctor?
For sure. It's hard. I mean, I know, I have friends from school that I would love to be adjusted by all the time because we think the same. We do everything the same. They're doing the thing that I would do to somebody else. And I wish I could get adjusted by them all the time, but they're all
yeah,
spread out.
Yeah.
So I have a few people around here that I'll pop in and out to whenever I can make the schedule work. But it's tough because I'm picky.
It's your thing. It's your thing. So, when you know it, it's.
Yeah, you're picky about how exactly it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there are some people that I've been to, and it's like, I'm not going back there.
Yeah.
But there are a few people around the area that are good that we link up with.
Yeah. So can we debunk the myth that if you crack your knuckles, like you'll get arthritis? Is that
for sure?
Is that that's a myth, right?
Yeah, I crack my knuckles all the time. You should, it's fine. It's good.
Okay, good. I've been cracking my knuckles probably for, I don't know, as long as I can remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if good's the right word. It's not bad though.
It's not bad. Like it's not going to do any long term damage.
Yeah, I hope not. Because for me, adjusting people all the time, just relaxing my hands and adjusting them have made my hands pop so easy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're popping all day long, every day. So
yeah. What about my mom always tell me this, and she's gonna laugh her ass off, and she knows exactly what I'm about to say, like cracking your neck, like I do this to
that's you know. Not so good.
Okay, that's not so good. Damn
no,
it.
Because so if I could just explain it easily is when I'm adjusting somebody, there's 24 movable segments in the spine. We're adjusting spots that don't move so well. All right. So if you have seven segments in the neck that move, and let's say two or three of them don't move so well, and you go to adjust your own neck, you're moving the ones that move already. Like you're not getting the ones that are locked up because they're locked up just by the very nature. Like what would be the ones that move are the ones that already move. So if you keep doing it to yourself all the time, it's not necessarily bad for the joints that are moving, but it makes them more mobile, which in turn asks less of the stuck joints. So they get more stuck almost. So you kind of further the problem. That's why when you do it, it feels good for 5 minutes. And then you feel like you have to do it again. And that's kind of universal.
Hmm.
And it's because you're moving joints that already move. And you're not moving the joints that need to move.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've been doing this wrong my whole life.
Yeah, the knuckles are fine. I mean, there's nothing else. Like, there's no imbalance happening at the knuckles. So
yeah, but I'm a big neck cracking guy.
Yeah.
I think.
Not so good. That one's not so good.
All right. So I have to stop? Damn it. My mom's going to text me right now at this moment and say, I told you so.
Yeah, she's right. Yeah, for sure.
Moms are always right, though.
Yeah.
You know, even when they're wrong. I think
there's always something to take away.
They're right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know. Obviously, it's like a habit, right? But at the same time, like you said, like it does, I guess, feel good for like those first 5 minutes, mm-hmm. but I'm not really... I'm just doing it to be the same thing as just, you know, moving your arm in the same direction that you could always move your arm. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm not actually reaching if there is a problem per se, like I'm not actually getting to that area that actually needs the movement. Right. Yeah,
and if you feel like you have to, like if you're doing it out of a habit, that's one thing. But if you get that feeling like, oh, I have to, then
I don't think I have to. I think it's more just like it is a habit.
If you get to that point where you're like, oh, I have to adjust my neck. I know a lot of people like that because, I mean, people tell me that all the time. That's you usually do have a problem. You usually do have some kind of restriction, which is why you feel like you need more motion out of it and you need to do that.
Hmm.
So, so it usually originates that way, at least. And some people turn it into it's just like a thing they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's generally not the best, not the best thing.
Son of a. All right. Yeah. Maybe I'll, now that I heard it from, not that my, you know, not that I don't listen to my mom, but you know, yeah. I heard it from the professional, so.
Yeah. Maybe you listen. Maybe it'll be like the people we were talking about before.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Maybe I'll listen. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like I've been doing it for like way too long. So it's like, it's going to be, it's like a hard, it's like one of the, and again, I think just, it's like second nature. It's just like one of those things that you just kind of do. And I don't even think I notice it anymore. Cause I probably do it so often.
Yeah, it becomes a habit. Yeah. That's a tough one to break. I tell people, it's like, it is okay. It's, I'm glad that it's not a thing that's necessarily harming the joints that you're doing it to, because, you know.
But I'm not really helping anything.
Yeah, you're not helping anything. And it's kind of makes the problem a little worse if there is a problem there.
Mm.
So, you know, I just tell my patients, we're going to address what you have going on when you're in here. Try not to do it. It's not doing too much damage to you, but I would avoid it if you could.
Yeah, and you brought your table today, so... I'll let you.
We'll see if you actually have something going on.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. So are there any other, like, what else is there? I'll say that, like, are common, like, some things that people think are either bad for you or good for you that really are the opposite. Are there any other, like, myths or anything else that, like, you could, like, just off the top of your head right now say, like, oh yeah, like, a lot of people do X, Y, and Z, and they probably shouldn't do that because of this.
Mm-hmm. I would say with, in regards to like specific chiropractic stuff, there's not too many. That's like that's the big one. Crack your own neck, trying to adjust yourself. Like that almost never works out because, like I said, you're not moving the stuff that's hard to move because it's by nature hard to move.
Right, and we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah, a couple of things would be probably forcing good posture. Like some people really try and force good posture when they have bad posture, or they'll wear those. Those shoulder strap things.
You commented on my dog meme that I'm like, this, right?
Yeah. So people wear those shoulder strap things that pull their arms back.
Yep.
That's not as helpful as people think it is, because good posture isn't good because it's just the position. It's good because your body moves to that position easily. So just forcing it doesn't do anything. We have to actually get your spine to be able to move into it easily.
Mm.
And then when it moves into that spot easily, it goes there because it's the where it's supposed to be. But it's not in that position because it doesn't go there. So just yanking it there with a strap on your shoulders, it doesn't actually solve your problem. Like none of the muscles holding it back are getting any stronger. Your mobility is not any better. You're just kind of cranked in this position for a while.
You're just forced there for
nothing. You're just forced there, and then it doesn't really help very much. So... that's one thing that I get asked about sometimes.
Why do we all have such bad posture?
What's up?
Why do we all have bad posture?
Because everything's forward now. Everything is forward. So if you think about how much upper back extension do you ever do? None. So you're either sitting at the podcast like this or at your computer or your phone. Like if you look at kids on their phone, that's head straight down.
Head down, yeah.
And we see things now in kids that you never, ever see. Where when I got out of school, you know, that hump on the upper back that people get when they're older, you see kids with that all the time now.
Really?
Yes, the iPad kids.
Wow.
You know, they're just on the iPad, on the phone all the time. We see like 7, 8, 9-year-olds with the humps on your back that you're supposed to get when you're, not supposed to get, but you get when you're 40, 50, 60 years old, and they're already having deformities. Kids have... those little bump, if you feel down the back of your head, there's like a little bump on the back of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Kids who are on their phone all the time, they have, it grows because of the tension on it all the time. And it, when they take x-rays of kids who are on their phones all the time, they look like little horns on the back of their head now.
Really?
Yeah, because it's literally changing their body shape, all the technology use that we have. So that's why everybody has bad postures, because everything is kind of forcing us that direction. Another thing is like...
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. This episode is brought to you by Loop Internet. Are you tired of buffering, lagging, and slow internet speeds? Look no further. Introducing Loop Internet, Northeastern Pennsylvania's fastest and most reliable internet service provider. With Loop Internet, you can stream, game, and work from home seamlessly. Say goodbye to interruptions and hello to lightning-fast connections. Loop Internet offers both residential and business fiber. Fast-track the future with their 10 gigabyte fiber and join the Loop Internet family today. Visit Loop Internet online at loopinternet.com or call 1-888-808-5667. Again, that's 1-888-808-5667, or visit them online at loopinternet.com. Loop Internet, where speed meets reliability. And now we're back on the stacks.
When I got out of school, so not that long ago, it was 2012 when I graduated, people who had headaches and migraines was like 40-year-olds, late 30s. Young kids didn't have headaches. But now if I see a teenager, 20 years old, young 30s, I'm assuming, like if I see just date of birth, new name coming into the office, I'm assuming they have headaches because
like a young person.
Yeah. The young people are like, they're the headache people now. And why? It totally shifted. And it's because of all the tension that's being created by this forward posture and being on phones and technology all the time. So yeah, it's definitely a crazy shift.
Yeah, I've seen that you've been posting. I caught a couple of the migraine posts. Like I've seen you've been posting about some of this stuff.
Yeah, and that's one of the ones that makes me crazy. Like that's my biggest pet peeve in chiropractic. It's not that. It's just the messaging behind it. So like if I get a migraine patient that comes into the office, they are the people, they have the same story every single time they come in, where it's, I started getting migraines, I took painkillers, my aunt told me to take essential oils or whatever.
Yeah.
It didn't work. then they'll go to the doctor, they'll give them like a muscle relaxer or something like that. Prescription pain meds, migraine medicine, anti-seizure medication. Nobody knows what's going on. So then they send them for an MRI, CT scan, all this stuff. And none of the solutions work. They end up like half okay on a pretty intense migraine medication that they have to take all the time. and they're frustrated with it. It's just kind of like a maddening.
It's just masking.
It's a maddening thing.
Right? And it's just masking. It's not actually fixing the problem.
But the thing that drives me crazy about it is like, it's a neck problem. Like when we solve the neck problem, the migraines go away. And it's just, that's the most common reason. Now, there are sometimes other reasons why it happens. But the way I compare it is like, if you went to your house and you were like looking for your wallet on the table and you couldn't find it, you wouldn't assume that somebody broke into your house and stole your wallet, right? You would assume that I just put it somewhere else. So you would look around your house for it. Like, that's the logical first step, is like, let's do the thing that probably happened. And then maybe you look for stuff and you see like, oh, some other stuff's missing, or the door's forced open or something. Then it's like, okay, maybe somebody did steal my wallet.
Right.
But it's not the first thing you do. Like, and that's kind of the way we do with migraines. It's like, okay, the most common thing is it's a neck issue. Let's do all this other stuff first. And usually people come into my office as like a last resort after they've done everything else, which is totally backwards. It's like if you yelled, hey, honey, where's my wallet? It's on the, or can you grab my wallet? It's on the counter. And she's like, it's not there. And you call the police. Yeah, it's like an irrational response.
Totally irrational.
But it's the common way we do it. So, that one drives me nuts.
Yeah. So what is it though? I mean, I have no idea. It's probably might be a little bit over my head, but if you can kind of maybe dumb it down so like the average person can understand, like what is in the neck that is causing the migraine?
So you have these small muscles right beneath the skull here. They're called the occipital muscles, and there's nerves that run through there, the suboccipital nerve and the greater occipital nerve. And when there's chronic tension on them, which is just what I was talking about before, like the modern posture produces that pretty readily, just by the restrictions and everything it creates. When there's constant tension on those muscles, the nerves that pierce through those muscles become irritated chronically. So they get set off very easily and they lead to these headaches.
So it's like a trigger.
It's a trigger for it. Yeah, I mean, if something's really sensitive, it becomes easy to set off. Like if you broke a toe and you put a shoe on afterward, your toe would be killing you. It's not that wearing a shoe is usually doing anything to your toe that it shouldn't be doing, but now that it's super sensitive, anything, even normal things, are setting it off. So you're just operating in like a very small window when those nerves are irritated like that, where, oh, this thing sets it off, or that thing sets it off, or if I'm a little stressed, it gets set off, because they're just constantly irritated because of that tension that's there all the time. Which is like an oddly, one treatment that is oddly at least addressing the neck, even though I think it's a crazy treatment, is when people get Botox injections in the neck, because the purpose of that is to just basically half paralyze those muscles so that they're not under constant tension there. Now, you know, I don't know if half paralyzing a muscle is really the best solution to any issue, but it's at least like the idea, like they're looking in the spot.
They at least know that it's
there.
They're
like, they're acknowledging like, hey, this
know.
Could be the thing.
Here. Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't solve the problem of why are those muscles all the way, always tight, or any of the stuff around it. But it's at least like, I can respect the idea a little bit, even if I think it's a little bit insane way to deal with the problem.
Yeah.
But at least I'm on track at least with that.
Yeah. So somebody comes in, right? Obviously, if somebody comes with that migraine, they say they have that. Obviously, you probably are already thinking, "Hey, it's the neck thing." Like, how long does it take to correct or fix that? And like, does somebody have to like keep coming forever? Like, how does that work?
So, it depends a little bit, but the symptom relief is usually like the first thing that happens, because if we could just take the tension off the muscles, that's the thing that happens first. Is like, we'll get the tension off the muscles, so that will give you some pretty immediate relief. So pretty quickly, like the headaches and the migraines will start to be reduced. You know, it might, it's not like a nice gradual thing. It's like if you had headaches 7 days a week, the next week maybe you have 5. And the next week maybe you have 3. And next week maybe you have 2. So there's 2 days where you're like cursing me saying, no, this didn't work.
Yeah, this guy's full of shit.
Yeah, it's like I thought this was working, but I guess not, because I have a migraine this day.
It's going to take time.
It takes time, and it's not like a gradual, like, oh, it's less bad, less bad, less bad. It's like, I had 3 days where I didn't have anything, then I had one. And then, but as that nerve gets less sensitive, it's not going to get set off so often. So it goes from like 2 to 1 to maybe once every 2 weeks. And then that's how
it becomes manageable.
Yeah, it becomes much more manageable until it becomes abnormal. Like, it might still happen. Sure. But at a certain point, you start to get used to the normal is not having them. And that's what we're aiming for. The thing that takes time is actually correcting what's tightening up the muscles. So let's say you sit and do podcasts and you're like this, right? Like all the time. Yeah. And that's just your main posture. And that's what's tightening up this upper back and causing problems in the neck. You know, we could release the neck, keep the tension off the neck all we want. But if you just start going back to all the things that caused that to happen in the first place, then it's not really going to do anything.
Yeah. How do you avoid it then?
So you can either just give up podcasting altogether, or you can just build in some simple things into your day that are going to offset that. So like if we're losing the ability to extend the upper back because we're sitting in this position all the time, then if I have a daily thing where we're spending 5, 10 minutes working on extension of the spine, that's going to help you maintain that motion and not lose it. Versus you might go weeks, months without extending the spine. So going from never doing it at all to 10 minutes every single day, it seems like a little easy thing, but it makes a huge difference. Like, you wouldn't lose that. So there's always a requirement. And that was a good one that I forgot. Like, once I start coming, do I got to keep coming?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the beginning, you definitely come more because you have an issue. So it's like we're...
Might be a little more intense in the beginning.
Yeah, it's like we want to... I think a good analogy is working out. So like if you're in really bad shape and you have a lot of health problems, it's like you really want to get on it. So you might be really intense about starting with it. And then once you gain a level of fitness, you don't necessarily have to be so diligent. Like maybe you are very strict on your diet in the beginning because you're really trying to accelerate weight loss. But then once you kind of have it in check, you can be a little looser and it's not so urgent that you have to move. It's easier to maintain
once you're kind of in that routine.
Yeah. So like when I get somebody out of their like crisis problem, it's a lot easier to maintain. We don't have to see them quite as much. But if you stop doing the things that get you results, then you don't get to keep the results.
Yeah, you revert right back.
Yeah. So I always like to keep people on a maintenance schedule. So whether if they have a lot of issues, it might be once every 2 weeks. If they don't have so many issues and really have them good, it might be once a month or so, just to make sure that we're not losing motion, make sure they're on the right track. But yeah, like if you got good results with something and you want to keep the results, it's just like anything else. It's like you have to keep doing the thing to get the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's such a simple concept, and I think people forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. Like it gets mixed up with mainstream medicine because you go to a doctor, they try and solve your problem. They might give you a medicine that you're on now and the problem's done. But, you know, you have to take that medicine forever too.
Right.
And it's just not like nothing really works. I don't know why it would be expected to. Like if you lived a life that caused this problem, and we fix the problem, and then you go live that same life, then why wouldn't the problem come back? It's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about, we touched on the word healthcare a couple times, but like, you know, the current state of healthcare.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
not great. No. So like, that's one of the reasons why I went to chiropractic. Like I said, I was never into medicine. That's just kind of I always had instinctually... it didn't vibe with me. Like, I just didn't think it made sense. So I guess I like to use analogies. I used a couple already, but I'll just kind of give an example of how it would work now that is just highlights exactly why it wouldn't work or why it doesn't make sense. Is like, if I have somebody who goes to a doctor and they have super high blood pressure, like they're feeling symptoms, they don't feel right. They go to the doctor. Their blood pressure is crazy. It's like 200 over 100, something like that. That's an emergency situation. So they're going to give them blood pressure medication. And then they'll send them home, have them on that medication now, and then they'll come back in 6 months, maybe, if they, like, sometimes they don't even check on them that quick, but they'll
come back nowadays.
Yeah. So maybe they come, let's say they come back in 6 months, they take the blood pressure, they do blood work. All the numbers look good. 120 over 80. Perfect. The doctor's like, look at you.
You made it.
You perfect health.
You did it. Yeah.
Perfect health. It's like that person's body is not any different. It's not functioning any better. It's not doing anything different at all. If you take them off that blood pressure medication, it's going right back up. They're not better. But now that we see the numbers just in the range that we want, we're not telling them to change anything. We're not telling them to assess anything. It's like, nope, you're perfect now. Just stay on this thing forever. And honestly, when they come to that visit, they're probably worse than they were the last time because they didn't change anything. So they kept living that life for 6 more months, but it's just kind of artificially controlled for that time. So when they come back and look at the numbers look good, but that person's worse. And the thing about not changing, like if you don't change the things that cause the high blood pressure, well, they're all things that lead to other problems. So the lifestyle that causes high blood pressure will cause you to be overweight. It'll cause you to have diabetes, high cholesterol, heart disease, causes all of these problems. So yeah, we might be keeping those numbers in check until you come back and a different number's wrong. And then they put you on the cholesterol medication. And then we're good again. And then you come back and then now the sugar's high. So now we're on the diabetes medication. And it's like, we're wondering why it's happening. It's because like the person's not getting better.
Yeah, they're not fixing the actual problem.
Yeah, we're not even looking. So my problem isn't necessarily with the medicine. Like, I'm not crazy. Like some people go really far the other way. Like you should never have medicine. But it should make sense. Like that person should go in with the high blood pressure. They should give them the medicine because it's an emergency level.
Right.
But we should check back with them and tell them, like, you have to change these things. And then when they come back, we should say, let's lower the dose and see how you respond to it.
Oh, yeah. If you made those changes and we lower the dose, theoretically.
Did you make the changes? Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can lower it. If we can lower it, good. Mm-hmm. If we lower it and it still doesn't come down, you're still crazy high, then you got to keep trying to make the change. Like, mm-hmm. a logical step to getting them back off of the medication and functioning normally on their own. Instead of the pill can't be the solution. It can be a tool to cause the solution to help you get to that solution. But if it is the solution, it's not a solution. And it's kind of the way we operate with it. And there's like a few reasons, but why we do it that way, but it's just like, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Why do we do it that way?
Now, I don't think, again, I'm not too far like on the crazy direction where I don't think there's some big conspiracy.
Sorry, I don't think you're too crazy yet.
Yeah, I don't. But a lot of people who kind of share the same sentiment do take it really far. It's like, all this stuff is poison. It should never be used.
Yeah,
it's
like,
I think it's a tool. If we're using it with a logical process in mind, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Not just using it and not asking
any questions.
If we're
just using it just to use it, then it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, I don't think there's some big giant conspiracy to like keep us sick or whatever. But I do think there's a couple reasons. Is one, medicine is super fast. So if that person has a high blood pressure, that problem can be gone. If that's the solution, we're going to be on medicine forever. That problem can just be gone right away. They don't have to change anything. They don't have to do anything. It's just gone. And if you're going to come back in 6 months and the doctor says you're in perfect health, you feel good about it, you don't have to change anything, the numbers are good. So it's very quick and it's very easy. So that's like the patient side of things of why it's attractive to a patient. Even though I think everybody, if you heard like why I explained it's not good, that makes sense. I don't think there's many people who disagree with that. And on the doctor side, it's very easy. And it's very quick. And especially primary doctors, it's like they have to see a lot of people now. And they maybe don't have time to give all these suggestions and recommendations and lifestyle changes to their patients who don't usually stick to that stuff very well. So if they want the result and they can get the numbers to be good, just by making that decision, then that's what they're going to do. Now, not everybody does it that way, but that's it's really common. And then the other thing is that drug companies want those type of medications. They want those because they're lifetime medications. So there's a reason why they don't develop new antibiotics, because those solve a problem and then it's gone. Like, if you have an infection, you take an antibiotic, you take it until the infection's gone and then it's over. So there's not a lot of money to be made on that. Whereas if you're on a cholesterol medication, a blood pressure medication, diabetes medications, these are we could give these to people for 50 years, and just one person is going to take it straight for 50 years. Like, there's a lot of money to be made on that. So those are the solutions that are being made. So the doctor only has the solutions that are given to him. Those are the ones that money's being put behind to make. It's just kind of like naturally it just drifted in this direction. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
So I read a couple of studies before I came in here. It was like for adults over 18, 60% of them are on one medication right now in the U.S. I think a third are on four or more, just above 18 years old. And Penn State did a research study, I think it was 2019, where if your kid was born in 2019 and they just lived in the current conditions, the average male would be on medication for 48% of their life, and the average female would be for 60% of their life. So it's just so normal to just be medicated now. And, you know, it's kind of a wild thing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's those stats are, pretty alarming.
They are, but it's really normal. Like, I went to a dermatologist the other day just to kind of look. I have a lot of birthmarks, so we're just looking over just to get a baseline. And, they asked me, you know, what medications do you take? I said, I don't take any. And the lady was confused. She thought I didn't understand the question. And I was like, no, I don't take any. She's like, nothing.
But like, are you sure? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that should not be that surprising.
Yeah. But it is nowadays, right?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. Holy yeah. shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, we deal, another example of like where I think it makes sense. And like, I try and get this across, to my patients where, you know, I don't expect, it's not realistic that every single person is going to just change their lifestyle and totally revamp their life to solve some of these problems. Like, some people just don't want to do that. And that's okay. But I don't want people to pretend that they are healthy just because they're on this medication. Because that just lets you get worse and worse without, like, at least if you can acknowledge, like, this is a problem for me, but I just don't want to fix it, I'm cool with that. Like, but I don't want, maybe not my patients, but I don't want doctors telling my patients they're good when they're not good. And I want people to think through problems logically, whereas, like, if I have a patient come in, their back spasms are so bad that they can't even lay down on the table for me to work on them and help them, and they want to go get some kind of injection or get on prednisone or something that just takes the pain away enough so that I can work on them and fix the problem, that's a logical use of that medicine. It's like, it's getting them from point A to point B. But when people have a back spasm and they go into the doctor, they get a cortisone injection, and the plan is in 3 months, they're going to come in and get a cortisone injection. And then 3 months after that, you know, like, that's not a logical use of it. So I just try and encourage people to think about it logically. Like, does this make sense to you? Like, just because a doctor tells you to do something, even if I tell my patients to do something, if it doesn't make sense, don't do it until it does make sense to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, in your position, other doctors, like, they would just, they wouldn't say that. They would just say, you know, they wouldn't take the stance of like, hey, take what I'm, you know, offering, like, whether you think it's going to work or not. Like, yeah. Not a lot of people, I'll say, like, have that open mind. You know, they're just so stuck in like, nope, you got to do this. This is the way. Take this.
Yeah, yeah.
Go home. See you in 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, there are options. And I mean, oh, one thing I wanted to, like, when I was talking about how much money those chronic medications, the ones that you take for a long time, are worth. To put that into perspective, like the company that makes Ozempic now.
Oh, yeah. That's a hot topic. Yeah.
but the company that makes Ozempic now, their market cap is higher than all of the artificial intelligence companies combined.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's how much money is in this. We're not talking small amounts of money. Like, if you can make a medicine that makes people skinny that they have to take for their whole life, you're worth more than artificial intelligence.
Which is absolutely crazy. Because yeah. I would, if you would have asked me right before this, like, oh, what's the biggest industry or next biggest industry? Like, and I just because I know, because I do actually follow a little bit in the AI world, just because I invest in some tech stocks that yeah. you know are AI stocks. And, you know, I'm seeing the money in all this AI stuff. And it's mm-hmm. like the amount of money, it's insane. And, you know, to think that this Ozempic, there's more money in that than yeah. in AI is yeah. mind blowing.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
so for those that don't know, like give me the little background on the Ozempic.
This is an interesting one for me too. Again, like, this is one I have kind of a stance on this that my chiropractic friends don't necessarily love because I'm not straight down the line, no medicine ever type thing. But one thing I think is interesting about it is it proves that it gets rid of a lot of weight loss myths. So when people say, you probably heard people say like, oh, I have a hormone issue, I have a thyroid issue, I have a slow metabolism, diets don't work for me because of this or that or whatever. Like, there's all these reasons why a diet wouldn't work for them, or exercise or whatever, it doesn't work for some people. Well, that's why I need to take this drug, because I can't lose it a different way. Well, Ozempic doesn't change your metabolism. It doesn't put you on a diet. It doesn't change your hormones. It doesn't do any of the things that people say are the reason why they can't lose weight. All it does is make you eat less food.
Hmm.
And everybody loses weight when they do it. So it kind of gets rid of all the myths of like, oh, there's something about me that makes me not be able to lose weight. It's not that, I mean, some people lose it easier than others, for sure. That's no debate. But there's not really anybody who can't lose it. And this is kind of proven that, because like everybody who takes it, no matter how stubborn it was in the past, they lose it.
It's effective.
It works. And all it does is make you eat less food.
Hmm.
Right. And it also kind of beats up some of the diets too. Like, vegan is the only way to do it, or keto is the only way to do it, carnivore, whatever. Like, any of these diets that say that are the only way to do it or the best way to do it, this pill's not putting people, it's not making them only eat a certain type of food. It's just making them eat less of it. So it just proves that just eating in a calorie deficit, that's all it is. That's all losing weight is. So I think it's interesting in that effect, where it beats up a lot of the myths about weight loss. And just kind of lays it on its face. It's like, if you are in a calorie deficit, you lose weight. Now, with that said, I don't really think it's a great way to do it. Because there's a lot of, you know, health effects to it.
Yeah, what's the other side of it?
Well, there's you know, gastrointestinal problems that come with it. Some of that is part of it making you not want to eat less food, too. There's the fact that you have to be on it for a long time. And not only does it not speed your metabolism up, like I said, it doesn't do anything to your metabolism, but just by the fact that it's making you eat less food and lose weight, it actually lowers your metabolism. So if you were to stop taking it, oh, and it makes you lose muscle mass just from being in a calorie deficit and not working out, assuming you don't change your lifestyle with it. So now if you lost weight, you lost muscle mass, your metabolism slower, and then you stop. Now, all of a sudden, you didn't develop any of the discipline in eating to get to there. You just weren't hungry. And now, all of a sudden, you're super hungry with a low metabolism, no muscle. you're going to gain it back like instantly.
Fast. Yeah.
And probably more. And if you gain it back on top of the fact that you don't have as much muscle, you're in a worse spot than you were beforehand.
So you're stuck. You're basically stuck.
So you do have to, like, you don't have to take it, but.
But if you want to keep that weight off and you don't want to work out and you don't want to eat better, you're just basically stuck taking it.
Yeah.
You're like trapped.
And you lose, if you do it that way also, you lose some of the benefits of, it's hard to lose weight consistently. So people who lose weight consistently are working out all the time. They're very disciplined about it. So you lose kind of the discipline that comes with it. You lose, the working out helps you maintain the muscle mass as you're losing weight. So that's why you don't lose it as much the normal way. Sometimes you will lose it a little bit, but you don't lose it as much as long as you're working out the whole time through. And you lose some of those benefits as well. So the way I'm looking at it though is, and this is where I kind of split with people on it, is if I have somebody who's like, let's think somebody who needs to lose 200 pounds, like they're morbidly obese, they have a ton of health problems. Maybe they have diabetes, everything you can name. It's a struggle just to get around for that person. And they're not going to work out. They're not going to lose it on their own. Like, we know people who are just, they don't even have the desire to do it. It's just like, it seems so far off to them that
they won't try it. Yeah.
They just won't try it. So for that person, you know, if we put them on this medicine and now they're able to lose weight, and now they can get around a little bit where they could barely even get around before. And now they maybe can get off their diabetes medication because the blood sugar is coming down. And maybe they could get off the blood pressure medication because that's coming down. I mean, that offsets a lot of that. So they still might have all those negatives that I just talked about. But when your weight is so severely contributing to negativity in your life like that, you can accept pretty extreme trade-offs and it still be worth it, right? Like if you're 200 pounds overweight, like you could lose an arm from the medicine and it still might be worth it if you got back to a normal weight. Whereas if I'm talking to like somebody who wants to lose 20 pounds for the summer and they take it, then it's not worth it. Then it's like you're going to lose muscle. You're going to maybe have these side effects. You're going to have to be on this forever now to lose 20 pounds. Like it doesn't, like there's a lot of issues that come with that. That's not worth losing 20 pounds. And you can do it on your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can lose 200 pounds on your own, but it's not. But
yeah. It's obviously a lot harder.
But yeah. And if it's somebody like, that's where I would draw the line. Like if somebody, and people have done it where they have that much weight to lose and they do it on their own, that's better way to do it. It's just the people are more satisfied with it. You look better when you lose it that way too. Like you've seen people who've they call it like the Ozempic face, or like they just, something looks a little off. It's the fact that they lost it without the exercise and the muscle mass loss and all of that. So like that is the better way to do it. But if you're simply just not even going to try and you're just kind of resigned to that moment, you're probably better off if you took it. So it's kind of like a case by case basis. But again, it's one of those things where it has to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like it can't just be like all these rich ladies on TV who are taking it to lose 30 pounds or whatever. Like I don't know what they're going to do when they have to come off of it, or if they're just going to stay on it forever. But it's not good.
Are there any like studies or anything that you're aware of in terms of like really long-term side effects?
Not that I'm aware of yet. There might be, but I haven't. Come across it. I know some proponents of it will say, you know, you can offset a lot of the muscle mass loss if you just work out while you take it. But it's like if we're taking it, then that's. I mean, I'm assuming it's a type of person who hasn't been able to stick to a workout routine consistently to begin with. So it's like, why don't we ask them to make that change first?
Yeah.
And see if they could do that. And maybe that'll just work and they won't need the medicine. But yeah, so that's a it's an interesting topic. We'll see how that changes everything going forward.
Yeah, it is very I mean it's obviously a hot topic, and I see everyone's talking about it online. You see, you know, like you said, like the people, you know, influencers and or, you know, actors, actresses, like they're, you know, taking this, and it's like,
yeah.
And again, like just like you said, it's only probably just to lose that little bit just to get themselves like to like that, what they may call like a perfect or ideal, like look, you know?
Yeah. And it's just a trade-off. Like if it's for, like I said, when somebody is that severely impaired by their weight, they can accept really bad trade-offs and still be better off because it's such a bad situation for
right.
them. When you're 20 pounds overweight and it's just like the dress doesn't look right on me, like that's you. There's not too many trade-offs that you're going to be able to take for it to be worth it
right.
at that point. Yeah. Like it's not really affecting you all that much.
Yeah.
So to have potentially things that are harming you for a long time, it's really not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if someone's never been to I've been to a chiropractor, you know, many, many times throughout my life, you know, on and off here or there. But if someone, you know, is listening or watching and they've never been, you know, never came to see someone like you, like what could they expect? I mean, like what's something that they could, you know, just maybe some questions you can answer that somebody may have that's like, oh, I've never been, I don't know if I believe in that. I don't know if that's going to work. Like, what would you say?
So I would say one, the YouTube videos are not like the real thing. Like we're not hitting people with sledgehammers with the spikes.
Yeah.
Or
I thought I saw you carrying them around the back of the building.
I didn't bring them with me. But
okay.
We're not hitting people with sledgehammers. We're not putting your head in the sling and yanking it
in a chamber or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a YouTube thing. I don't know where that came from. I've never seen somebody do it in real life. The Y strap. So we're not doing any of that stuff. So don't get freaked out if you see some stuff that looks really extreme on YouTube. That's why it's popular on YouTube, because it's extreme.
Yeah, right.
Basically what we're going to do, if you come into my office, I'm explaining what I'm looking for. Again, you should understand, like you could tell, I'm pretty big on like, you need to understand what I'm doing, because that's how you should deal with all your health issues. So I'm going to explain what I'm looking for. Then when we do the exam, I'm going to show you where what I just explained is happening for you. And then we're going to walk through, I kind of call it three stages. So if you lost motion somewhere, we need to get it back. That's the first thing. Because if we try and jump ahead to like strengthening without having the motion, that's kind of like wearing those vests that pull your shoulders back. It's like you can't get there, so why are we trying to hold it there?
Right, yeah.
So we get the motion first, then we strengthen it in that area so that you can hold that motion, so that you can use it. And then the third thing is we make a plan of like, now what are you going to do to maintain it? Because I don't expect people to quit their jobs, live off the grid, never, you know, be on their phone ever again. It's like we just have to build a system in place so that you can live your normal life and not have this be the consequence of it.
Yeah. So. Sounds pretty simple.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, you know? But is there anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. I think I'm about ready for my adjustment.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get that done.
Yeah. So, but just real quick back to the posture thing before we end, like what's the best thing for somebody to do to like, I guess just practice good posture. Like what are some tips
to practice good posture? All right. So the place where people usually lose it is in the upper back. That's where it gets rounded forward. That's the first place where you typically will lose it. So if I'm giving a blanket statement for most people, you want to work on your thoracic extension. So if you, go on Google or YouTube, you'll find a ton of stuff on how to improve thoracic mobility. That's one of the places that I would start, because like I said, first thing you have to do is get the motion. If you don't have the motion, then you can do all the exercises you want, and the spine doesn't want to go in that direction. So they're never going to magically get strong enough where it just yanks your spine back in where it's supposed to be. You have to have the motion first. So I would work on thoracic extension. Go see a chiropractor. It makes the motion happen faster.
Go see you.
Yeah. Yeah. Come see me, and then we'll get you on your way.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to my, I haven't had an adjustment in a long time.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. So if anyone's interested in coming to see you, learning more about you, where do they need to go?
Yeah, you could come to fullsfamilychiropractic.com. You could set up an appointment online. You find us on Instagram or Facebook at the same name. And look out for sometime in July, we're starting a migraine program online that people, you don't necessarily have to be in the area. We're going to help people deal with those issues by walking them through a 3-month course that will help them deal with that issue.
That's really good. I know a lot of people have migraines, so I hope they're watching and listening. Because I see people posting about it all the time, like on Instagram, like, oh my God, another day, another migraine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, hopefully that'll stop them from getting like this little thing in their ear pierced to fix it.
Yeah. Well, no, this is good, man. I appreciate you coming in. I'm glad we finally connected.
Yeah.
And man, I'm looking forward to seeing some more of your content, your podcast, by the way. Give that a little plug before
we end. The Well Adjusted Podcast. Look for it on Spotify, or I post clips of it on Instagram pretty regularly too.
Awesome. All right. Dr. Dave Fultz on the Stacks in the MPP studio. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Thank you.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.